Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Friday, May 3rd, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The state of the city is not too bad, according to Sitka Mayor Mim McConnell. McConnell reported on the economic and social health of the community to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday. The mayor drew extensively for her presentation from a budget cover letter drafted by former city administrator Jim Dinley shortly before his resignation. The letter summarizes the overall condition of the municipal budget and provides a department-by-department synopsis of the city's major enterprise funds. But Mayor McConnell also offered some of her own analysis. Here is a brief excerpt from her remarks.
So we're in amazingly good shape compared to other cities around the country and in Alaska. The city and borough of Sitka has been operating in the black for years, which is hard to find these days. Our unemployment rate in 2012 was a low 5.6%, which is also pretty amazing. The sales and bed tax revenues have slightly increased, which is good news. And we have a motivated citizenry interested in creating a healthy, sustainable community. So for future balanced budgets, and including this one, some things to think about and a fresh perspective to consider. The first two are the questions that all of us need to be thinking about and talking to your assembly members about. What level of sustainable governmental services are you willing to pay for? What level of support are you willing to provide the school district? And then a little bit something different to think about. As a community, we need to holistically look at all the critical needs together: education, public safety, social services, as opposed to only within the confines of each institution.
That's Sitka Mayor Mim McConnell presenting the state of the city to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday. Following her remarks, the mayor brought the Public Works Director Michael Harmon forward to outline some of the major municipal projects currently underway or soon to be underway in Sitka. Harmon described over $160 million in projects, everything from dredging Swan Lake and building the Seawalk to repaving both Halibut Point and Sawmill Creek roads that will be happening over the next 2 years. The $160 million price tag is mostly grant-funded and does not include work on the $142 million Blue Lake Hydro expansion. To hear the mayor's full remarks, view her PowerPoint presentation, or to read the former administrator's budget cover letter, visit our website, kcaw.org. Softball players will have their turn on the new synthetic turf this weekend. The 3 days of play opened last evening when the Sitka Lady Wolves met Kodiak. A JV game followed the varsity contest. Play resumes this morning at 10:45 a.m. when the same two teams meet again. There will be softball throughout the day today until Sitka takes on Homer at 7:30 p.m. Saturday morning play will begin at 8:30 a.m. when Sitka's JV team meets Thunder Mountain's JV. Again, play will continue throughout the day until the varsity girls from those schools play under the lights at 8:15 p.m. To see a full schedule, visit our website, kcaw.org. The softball action this weekend on Sitka's new $2.6 million facility came after a long winter of some, at times, acrimonious wrangling over how team practice times would be allocated at Muller Park. The dispute pushed the school board into holding a hearing on the matter, where gender equality and other Title IX issues were at the forefront. A reoccurring question during those discussions was whether the field could be easily reconfigured from baseball to softball. Sitkins got their answer Wednesday afternoon as municipal grounds crew, supported by two vanloads of trooper cadets, removed the baseball pitcher's mound. Sitka High Activities Director Mike Vieira helped organize the undertaking.
It's a three-piece mound, and the middle section is 18 feet long. It's constructed of, you know, fiberglass and wood, and so it's fairly flexible. And across 18 feet, that's really flexible when it's that heavy. I think total it weighs somewhere between, with all the fill and sand that goes into the turf, I think it was somewhere between 2,500 and 3,500 pounds with all three pieces combined.
Sitka is not the only place that reconfigures a field for softball and baseball. Vieira contacted the manufacturer who advertises the movable mound and got the name of the field manager at the University of Creighton in Nebraska.
He basically told me that he uses 20 Division I baseball players, and they pull it apart and pick it up and walk it off the field.
The University of Creighton performs this maneuver twice a day to allow baseball fields to be shared by intramural sports. Sitka doesn't have 20 Division I baseball players handy. That's where the Public Safety Academy cadets rose into the rescue. You can see a video of the troopers carrying the Mueller pitcher's mound at our website, kcaw.org. In mid-April, a hiker in Sitka found an eagle dead in the woods. It was picked up by the Alaska Raptor Center. Ordinarily, this would not be a news story, except that this eagle was wearing some jewelry. KCAW's Ed Ronco explains.
Okay, so the jewelry the eagle was wearing was a metal band from the federal government, which identifies the bird officially as 6293475. But around here, he was known simply by the name Windex.
Because he flew through a double pane glass window.
Jen Cedarleaf works at the Raptor Center. She's flipping through Windex's chart, dated July 1995.
We did an x-ray. We checked for fractures and lacerations. Didn't have any fractures. Gave him fluids because he was in shock.
Were you part of this call? Were you here then?
I was here then.
Do you remember the call?
I do. Pretty distinctly remember the call because he had flown through their window and kind of knocked himself out, and they have this eagle in their living room, and they're like, what do I do?
Lee Krause and his wife, Tina, still live in the house where it happened.
We bought it in 91.
In fact, Lee is sitting in the same place he was 18 years ago when Windex dropped in for a visit. He's at the dining room table with his back to the window, which is not more than 5 feet away.
A total explosion,
like
that's what it was.
Gun going off or something, and then I would just pepper it up my back. I really thought somebody got me with a shotgun or something.
Tina Krause says the glass flew clear to the other side of the house, and when the eagle started coming to, they quickly put a throw rug on him, standing on the edges to keep the bird from causing more damage.
And our grandson was sitting there watching TV, and he says, holy cow, Grandma, does this happen often? Because he's from down below.
How old was he?
He was about 8.
Raptor Center staff showed up, and with a makeshift stretcher, they took the bird off for treatment. The Krause family cleaned up the glass and threw out the chunk of halibut that Windex dropped when he made his entrance. But that was not the end of things for the Krause family. For starters, they made the front page of the Sitka Sentinel.
Picture of us in front of the window.
Eagle crashes party, sends guests flying. The Krauses aren't used to uninvited guests showing up at their home for dinner, but at least this one brought his own entree. Their visitor, a mature male.
The newspaper article led to mentions in the press outside of Alaska, and their house even became a tourist attraction.
We ended up putting a great big piece of plywood over the window here, and the tour buses would all park down here, and all the people that tell the story about the eagle, and all the people walk up our little driveway and stand there and take pictures of our house.
Lee and Tina Krause both say they've wondered what happened to Windex.
Yeah.
They think it just died of old age?
For the answer to that, Jen Cedarleaf takes me inside the Alaska Raptor Center.
There's flies buzzing around him already.
It is the day after Windex was found in the woods, and Cedarleaf is getting his carcass out of a plastic bag.
He's really stinky, so he's probably been dead a few days.
She positions Windex on a table, and we hide behind a lead screen as the bird is zapped by x-rays.
Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. It's going to beep when it takes it. There we go.
When the film is developed, we see a small little fracture on one of the bones in his wing.
I think his radius is broken, but I still don't think that's the cause of death because he should have been skinnier. He should have lost a lot of weight from having the broken wing, but I don't see anything else.
Windex was an adult eagle when he flew through the Krause's window. That was 18 years ago, which means Windex was probably between 20 and 25 years old when he died. That's about normal for an eagle in the wild. Cedarleaf says the fact that this eagle was found, identified, and returned to the same clinic where he was treated nearly 2 decades ago is extremely unusual, as is his claim to fame. Lee and Tina Krause say they still tell the story of the day Windex came to visit.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I thought he would live forever.
And, in a way, he just might. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
It looks like there won't be a Chinook subsistence fishery on the Stikine River this year. Officials this week closed the annual opening, scheduled for May 15th to June 20th. Dalrymple of Wrangell District says the number are below what's required of the Salmon Pacific Treaty.
That treaty stipulates that a directed Chinook salmon subsistence fishery can't be harvested if the preseason estimate is less than 28,100 Chinooks.
The estimate is about 3,600 fish, or 20% below that level. Dalrymple can authorize subsistence fishing during the season if the estimate exceeds 24,500 Chinooks. He's given that authority by Federal Subsistence Board. But he says another Stikine fishery is more important.
In reality, the Chinook salmon is not the targeted species for subsistence on the Stikine. It's more of a incidental catch. The numbers are fairly low. The real, the stronger fishery, the more targeted fishery is for sockeye.
The Chinook closure does not affect later Stikine subsistence fisheries. The sockeye season runs June 21st through July. A coho season follows from August through October. Governor Sean Parnell is expected to announce plans for his political future at a reception during the Alaska Federation of Republican Women's Convention in Fairbanks. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski and Representative Don Young are also expected to attend the reception this evening at Pike's Waterfront Lodge. The president of the women's group, Rhonda Boyles, says the governor's office asked her to contact the media about the announcement since it is a political event and not official state business. Parnell could seek re-election next year. He also has been seen as a possible challenger to Democratic U.S. Senator Mark Begich. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And here's a look at Sitka Zone weather. Today it is going to be a little bit of rain developing in the morning. Highs around 50, south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour, becoming southeast 10 to 20 miles per hour at late morning. And tonight, rain heavy at times with lows around 47. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.